About a month ago, we started studying here in the auditorium the book of Acts. The book of Acts, as we all know, or should know, is a collection of information written by Luke, inspired by the Holy Spirit, recounting the work that was done by the apostles of Jesus as they went out into the world to preach the gospel, establishing churches, local churches, wherever they went, where people responded to the gospel of Christ. In this book, we also have information of people that the Holy Spirit wanted the readers to know about. Some of these involve men and women who became Christians and became a tremendous influence in the early church. This morning, I want to address this particular individual that we find in the book of Acts in chapter 18. And I'm going to be reading from verse 24 to verse 28. Now, a certain Jew named Apollos, born at Alexandria, an eloquent man and mighty in the scriptures, came to Ephesus. This man had been instructed in the way of the Lord, and being fervent in spirit, he spoke and taught accurately the things of the Lord, though he knew only the baptism of John. So he began to speak boldly in the synagogue. When Aquila and Priscilla heard him, they took him aside and explained to him the way of God more accurately. And when he desired to cross to Achaia, the brethren wrote, exhorting the disciples to receive him. And when he arrived, he greatly helped those who had believed through grace, for he vigorously refuted the Jews publicly, showing from the scriptures that Jesus is the Christ. With these few words, we are introduced to a man by the name of Apollos. The writer says that he was a certain Jew from Alexandria, from Egypt. He was a very special man. The Holy Spirit gave this information to Luke, and he writes it so that the reader can get to know this particular person. Apollos is unique. He is very, very unique. First of all, I want to point out that when Luke writes about him, he says, a certain Jew. That's it. But he says that he was born in Alexandria, Egypt. The story goes, according to history, that at this time, there were a number of Jews who were not speaking in Hebrew, but were communicating in Greek, passing along information, learning information, and becoming versed in the Old Testament, in the law, in the traditions and customs, in the Jewish system of law. That's why some of the writers speak of Apollos as having a Hellenistic background. And if you study and if you go looking up that particular word, if you Google it, you're going to get a lot of information, a terrific amount of information that will serve as a background to any situation involved at that particular time. But the writer says that Apollos was eloquent. And this particular word is far greater than just being a well-spoken person. It involved wisdom. He was a practical man, and that's why he's called eloquent. He is mighty in the scriptures. That is, he learned. He was a learned person. Mighty is a word that describes someone that excels in knowledge of the scriptures. And again, we're talking about the Old Testament. But we're also told that he was instructed in the way of the Lord. That is, he knew what God required of his people. And Luke writes about that. He is also describing having the right attitude. He was fervent in spirit. He was sincere. He was a man that was convicted. He had zeal. He not only had the knowledge of the Old Testament, he was not only mighty in the scriptures, but he was a man that had the right attitude. Notice also that he spoke and taught accurately the things of the Lord. That's how well studied this man was. That was how this man became such a tremendous influence. Because not only was he taught accurately the things of the Lord, but he spoke. He represented correctly the Word of God. It is also said that though he knew only up till the baptism of John, that's what we are told here about Apollos. So his knowledge came up only to a certain point in time. Now, when you see this, you may think that this is Apollos writing his own resume. But that's not the way it is. In reality, this is Luke's account of a certain Jew from Alexandria. So I want to make that perfectly clear, that what we know of Apollos is what the Holy Spirit wanted the readers to know. This was the Holy Spirit speaking these things concerning Apollos. But let me put something else before you this morning. When it is said that he spoke boldly what he knew in Ephesus, that says a lot. He didn't go beyond what was written. He didn't go beyond what was true. He didn't add to it. He didn't take away from it. He respected it to the point that he limited himself to what he knew concerning the scriptures. And here in Ephesus, he is speaking boldly. He was not afraid. He was not timid. He came forward preaching the word. Aquila and Priscilla were there, a couple that is introduced before this in the book of Acts. They were Christians. And they're hearing Apollos speak, but they notice that something is not right. He was accurate. He knew, he was bold, he had all of these good intentions, he had the heart, and he had the information, but something was not right. Something was lacking. And we are told that they took Apollos aside, and I asked, not publicly. We don't know the details, now be careful. Don't jump to conclusions. Don't make the mistake of overstating what is said. We are very, very limited in what we know. What took place between Aquila and Priscilla? Where they met, for how long they met, what they talked about, I don't know. Nobody knows. Listen carefully, because that is important in this study and in any study of the scriptures. But you know, we are told that in this meeting, they explain the way of God more accurately. Like we often say, they filled in the blanks. They looked at what was lacking, and they said, this is what you need. This is what you need to hear. This is what you need to understand. That's what happened. And again, I don't know how long this took. It could have been an hour. Could have been 15 minutes. It could have been 30 seconds. I don't know. We don't know. The writer does not tell us. It could have been a day, could have been a week, could have been a year. We don't know. But we are told that they explained the way of God accurately. Now, this is Luke's account of what Aquila and Priscilla did to correct Apollos. I've heard many lessons through the years about Apollos. But I've noticed that in some of these lessons, in some of these studies, the work of Aquila and Priscilla are not addressed like they should. And again, I confess, we don't know. But I want to emphasize the importance of people that stand up, listen carefully, stand up to correct someone that is not teaching accurately the Word of God. I hope you hear me clearly, because that is important. Because when someone is speaking the Word of God and is not doing it accurately, somebody needs to speak up. Someone has to speak up. We don't know. I don't know, reading from this account, what went on when they met. But whenever they met, for how long they met, we see him, Aquila, and her, Priscilla, taking a genuine interest in helping Apollos. But there's something else that I want you to notice this morning, that Apollos accepted the corrections. Can you imagine a man with 5 stars on his shoulder, a man so eloquent, so zealous, so willingly, with a tremendous attitude, spoke accurately the things of God? We don't know. We're not told how long this took. But we do hear, we do read, that Apollos accepted the corrections. And that speaks very, very highly of this man. The brethren at Ephesus, when they saw, when they heard what took place, they wrote a letter to the brethren at Achaia to receive Apollos. And the reason this is happening is because they saw the results. They could conscientiously, they could with all assurance recommend Apollos. When you get to Achaia, brethren, you listen to him. He is speaking accurately the word of God. Receive him. Here you have the recommendation of the brethren at Ephesus. After learning of Apollos and his intent to go preach the gospel in Achaia, he was recommended by the brethren. But we also know that Apollos greatly helped, and that's what we read, the brethren at Achaia, who had believed through grace, who had heard the gospel of Jesus Christ. He went up there and he studied with these brethren. He taught the word of God accurately. With that beautiful attitude that he had, he was able to help and to encourage greatly, we're told, the brethren. We also learn from this that this is Luke's account of Apollos' response to the corrections. And I want to emphasize something also about Aquila and Priscilla. Luke tells us that both this couple, a man and a woman, took him aside and corrected him. It should be noted that this was not only the work of Aquila, but this was the work of a woman, his wife. Priscilla participated in this. And it is good to know that Apollos' heart was just as responsive in hearing Aquila as he was Priscilla. And this also speaks about Apollos' attitude, that he was not only hearing the man speaking, but he was also willing to hear the woman speaking. The value of her teaching, the value of her corrections, speak out loud and clear. But let me point out something else this morning. That Apollos, accepting corrections, he remained focused. Now, let me be a little bit more clear in this. He was a practical person, Apollos was. He was fervent. He was determined. He was zealous. He wanted to say things correctly. He made every effort to speak correctly. Receiving corrections did not diminish the ability or the work of Apollos. He remained focused in his work, eloquent, mighty, fervent, accurate, and bold. You may think that a person that was corrected, a man of his stature, a man of his knowledge, you would think that he would just brush it aside and react with hurt feelings. I was humiliated by a woman. Can you imagine a woman coming up to me and correcting me? He didn't change. He didn't change. He remained focused. He remained determined. He was the same man with the same attitude towards God and his word. How do we know? Look at this very carefully. The scripture says that he vigorously refuted the Jews publicly. There was opposition to his preaching. And the opposition was not in the correct. They were in error. They were following a false doctrine. They needed to accept the truth. So Apollos, when he got to Achaia, Luke says, and this is Luke's word, not mine, vigorously. That's a powerful word, because it shows his zeal. It shows how much he loved the truth and how he wanted these people to know the truth and not to consider opinions, not to consider false doctrine. He wanted them, listen carefully, this is the truth. We are told that he refuted the Jews publicly. I want to contrast that with what Aquila and Priscilla did. When they approached Apollos, the writer says that they took him aside, which leaves the impression that they went separate and apart from the public. But in this case, he's doing it publicly. He used his experience, his zeal, his knowledge to properly address an issue. He learned it from Aquila and Priscilla. Let me also add that the writer says that he used the scriptures, and of course this was the Old Testament. He used the Old Testament writings to show that Jesus is the Christ. This is important because we are noticing how from the beginning to the end of this very, very short story of Apollos, we learn how he stuck to what is written. And brethren, this is important regardless of where we are, regardless of who we are. It is important that we respect what is written, the context, the meaning of words. Every time that you read whatever scripture you read, Old Testament or New Testament, you look at the context. When I die, in my obituary, I'm going to have that word, context. Believe me, I'm going to make sure it is in there. Because I want people to remember, you respect the context. Any word in the Bible has a meaning. But that meaning is limited to the context. The context determines the meaning of the word. And we find how important this was in what Apollos did. Now, this is Luke's account of what Aquila and Priscilla's corrections accomplished in Apollos. They were successful. They were successful in what they did. But let me close this lesson by just pointing out in 1 Corinthians 3, 1 Corinthians 4, 1 Corinthians 16, the name of Apollos comes up. Brethren wanted to be followers of Apollos, Paul says. Some said, I am of Apollos, I am of Paul, I am of Peter. But you know what happened, how Paul exhorted the brethren that that's not the way to go. So this man by the name of Apollos, as famous as he was and as powerful as he was, we have a tremendous lesson to learn. To learn to follow the example of persons in the New Testament that made a tremendous difference in the early work. Thank you, and you may go to your classes.